This is Francis Tan from West Indian Girl.
I'm Mary Queen. I'm in the same band.
I love the same band. They're my favorite band. Have you ever heard the same band? They're great. All of their songs sound... Never mind. In your bio, you are both a band and a collective. So what are you and does it really matter?
You know what? It doesn't really matter. But what we are is actually just... we're a band with six people in it. And it started out as a two-piece, and it has slowly evolved from two-piece to four-piece, and now to six-piece. Collective, band, group of friends. Very, very solid. So this lineup isn't changing. It's the best lineup we've had. It's taken a while to get here, too.
Sometimes I look at labels and sometimes I assume labels. And it wasn't until I did my research today that I went back and looked at the single and said, oh, it's not on Astral Works. Why, pray tell, isn't it on Astral Works?
Well, that is, you know what? Now we're getting to the good stuff. You could say it was sort of a mutual parting of the ways with Ashworks. Although, great, it was a great label to have released our first CD and remix record on, and it was a dream, and they were just great. I mean, I'm glad we'll always have that Ashworks sort of credibility. What happened was, I mean, there's a lot of changes over at Ashworks. Ashworks is owned by EMI, and so it's not as simple as, I mean, there's still a lot of red tape over there. There was a lot of changeover. I mean, the staff that we were working with is now, I mean, basically gone. And it just made more sense for us to go to a different, we were just looking for something else out of a deal. The thing about this label and this deal, if you want me to go into that, I'd gladly.
Well, who is this label?
Well, this label is Milan Records, and they're part of the WEA family. At least there's a better chance that our CD will be in them. But we did this deal with Milan. They're a French label, mostly primarily doing soundtracks.
Is everybody in the band from LA?
Not originally, but everyone lives in various parts of LA.
Oh, that I know. Yeah. So what's the strangest place somebody's from that's not LA?
I was born in a little city called Cagayan de Oro in the Philippines.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
In terms of how you write the songs that we're about to talk about, you write them together, and I read that you said the process is truly collaborative, which overall is a good thing, but can also be a tricky little moment, especially since a lot of people are new, and there were a couple of founding members, and Mary Queen was around very early on. So just, we're going to talk a lot about the songs, but give me a little bit of glimpse into the collaboration.
In many ways, I mean, sometimes it's like pulling teeth. I mean, it's really just a battlefield.
Everybody here has nice teeth, but you know, I did see the other. I saw Nathan look like he had a couple punched out.
Yeah,
you know, everyone has really strong personalities, and sometimes we seriously, fully, with all of our heart, disagree on certain parts, and we will kick and scream until we get our way. But at the end of the day, we have to compromise. That's what being in a relationship with five other people is about.
There is no LA sound anymore. For a while there, it was crunchy guitars, and somebody said recently that even finding a guitar player that didn't want to do Van Halen was very, very difficult to do. So the fact that you're an LA band isn't really as relevant as the fact that you're a band, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. It just happens that we're a band and we're in LA. You know, I mean, in some ways, I think, you know, L.A. and its surrounding areas influence us in some way. For us, I've never grouped us in. I don't care what city West Indian Girl, if we were anywhere else, we still wouldn't be. We're our own entity. I mean, and so there's not really a band that's like us or that I'm ever worried of sounding like us. We're doing our own thing no matter what city we'd be in. I still definitely think, though, we draw from the city that we're in on some level.
For people who have never been to a beach in LA, you know, just Blue Wave alone could take them there on a beautiful day. So tell me about the sound and how it's progressed from that first album to this one, and then we'll kind of dig deeper into some of the songs. I've hinted at one, but we'll go even deeper.
Well, from the first record, it was a studio collaboration, and, you know, this new album is more... The songs were created at our space, just jamming. So it's definitely more what music driven instead of using sonar to...
Well, I mean, the big difference is that with the first record, Rob and I were really just writing the stuff in the studio. There wasn't much... We never got to take it to that step of playing it live and then tweaking it. Now, we're playing it live, tweaking it live for a good amount of time, bringing it in the studio, and then able to take it out of the shop again. So having that, that's why the second record sounds different. It was done really more how a band should write a record. Rather than two guys. It's more, this is the band, this is how you do it. We just didn't happen to have a band when we started.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, I'm in LA quite a bit, but I had to do my homework, so I Googled East 4th Street and Wall Street.
Yeah.
Just so I really got a sense. And then I saw what streets surrounded it, and then I said, it's not where someone would expect happy, shining music to emanate from.
Well, I mean, 4th and Wall, it literally is Skid Row. I mean, we have a line of people sleeping outside. There's drug deals going on right outside our studio. Ironically, there's a cop station two blocks away. The first time I went down there, I mean, I've actually been scared, and I walk around with a dog, you know, a big dog at times. So there's certain times when I've actually literally been scared, like something bad's gonna happen. It's definitely not a good part of town. It's a bad part of town. I mean, it gets worse actually a block or so away from us. But you know, luckily enough, like a lot of the homeless people have. They're almost regulars. They've been there for a couple of years, so we know them by name. And so, in many ways, our cars are safe in a weird way because we know these people that are all sleeping outside in the studio. But it is definitely it's not a place to take mom and dad.
And there are a lot of references. For example, in All My Friends, you know, the words "All My Friends Get High." You know, that could be, I mean, you're right. You can take it a million ways because that could be directly reflective of the neighborhood that it was created. You know, or it could be more ethereal. So, you know, you. What's interesting, and I've said this to a lot of bands that I love, is what you do really well, and we'll get more into this, is you've got great pop melodies, but when you really, if you sit and you actually listen to the lyrics, what you're really doing is you're serving up a lot of social change and a lot of interesting things going on, you know, while people are chewing on their bubble gum.
I like where you're going with this. This is a... This is my kind of interview. Get Ups, you know. You know what? That song is a social change. Yeah. That's what. And then that. I don't think a lot of people get that. That is a completely social change song, if we ever had one. I mean, that and it was when we wrote that. That was we started with that intent. That's how that song. But although most people would never ever think that. I mean, so
yeah. You have to listen to the lyrics. It does help.
Yeah, but these songs, I mean, all these songs, they're nice in that they're loose enough that everyone can sort of you know, take their own sort of their own personal message from it.
And then the song that, when I was listening to it this afternoon, that really affected me, and I want you both to talk about it, was Sophia. And, you know, she and God are one. So is there a true story there, or did you create a character named Sophia who's definitely had an interesting few moments in her life?
We just created her out of the blue. We were just, you know, it was Fran, myself, and Rob trying to think of the right phrase for this melody, and then all of a sudden I just said, how about Sophia? And after that, the song just kind of, we already had the music, but the lyrics were written after we came up with the chorus and the name.
You chose to produce and record the album yourself. I imagine that after having other options, that was a definitive choice, but also quite the challenge, because producing, you know, writing songs collaboratively is one thing, recording a record and producing it collaboratively and dealing with sound and what's going to happen there, I imagine that must have been a special little experience, and yet you're all still together.
The thing is, though, what you mentioned, we really didn't have any other choices. I mean, we either do it that way or it doesn't get done. I mean, and that's, I think, how a lot of bands still have to do it. I mean, it's a luxury having someone paying for your records. And you know what? Rob's really a perfectionist, almost to a fault. You know, but it worked out great. I mean, over and over. I mean, the good thing about it is that we were able to, you know, get things right. I mean, you were able to, like, re-record. That's a bad thing, too. So, I mean, it's got its it's pros and cons. We were able to, you know, I mean, to die in LA.
I think the fact that we were able to produce this record, Rob producing it, and having our own studio helped because we were all there giving our opinions and helping shape a song that we created.
But then also at the same time, it's still sometimes you really want that outside neutral sort of observation or critique of songs. And when you don't sort of have...
If you agreed with the producer, which usually is about a 20% shot with most of the bands I interview, the first thing they say is, you know, the record turned out great, but we wanted to just kill the producer.
No, exactly. And so, I mean, really, there was no other way to do this record when it came down to it. This is the only way.
You put the we talked about this kind of off camera, but you put the entire album on your website. So that was, you know, and I mean, obviously with ever since Radiohead and everybody, you know, and a few others. But was your hope that people would get into it and then either download it or buy it in full fidelity? Was that the plan there? Because it's funny, when I got there, I said, "Oh, I guess I'll get 15 seconds of each song," and then I said, "Oh my gosh, I've got the entire record to listen to."
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think you can download it, though.
If you want to know what you're buying is worth it, I feel like if you go on our site, you listen to the songs, and you really want it, you can buy it. You know, why buy the record if you don't think that you're going to like all the songs?
We've created a little thing we've done with over 150 bands now called A Musical Sandwich. And what that is two of your songs is the bread, and then as many songs by other artists as you want to play in between.
Okay, Rise from the Dead, and then what about To Die in L.A.?
Okay, Rise from the Dead and To Die in L.A.
Yeah, that's our bread. Okay, I'll start naming something.